Good morning. A lot nicer morning than yesterday. The court calls U.S. v. Rauscher. Counsel for the appellant, please.
Good morning. May it please the court. I'm Captain Michael Berry for Petty Officer Jeremy Rauscher, the appellant. Chief Judge Baker, may I reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal, please?
Of course. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor. Under the strict elements test, assault with a dangerous weapon is not a lesser-included offense of assault with intent to commit murder. As such, appellant's conviction for assault with a dangerous weapon cannot stand, as it is a due process violation to convict someone of an offense not charged. At the outset, appellant does not concede notice, but the question of notice is irrelevant to the question of whether assault with a dangerous weapon is a lesser-included offense. It is important to note that the members acquitted Petty Officer Rauscher of assault with intent to commit murder. Instead, they convicted him for an uncharged offense. That is the due process issue in this case. And this court has said that that due process right is broader than notice.
If you would, counsel, walk me through very carefully your view as to why aggravated assault is not an LAO. What specific element is not there necessarily about your application? Under Article 79.
Yes, Your Honor. The statutory element of assault with a dangerous weapon that is not present in Article 134 is the with a dangerous weapon. Under Jones, Girard, and McMurrin, Congress is the only body with the authority to define elements. So to determine whether assault with a dangerous weapon is a lesser included offense, we need only compare those elements.
Right, but I'm asking which element isn't in the specification.
Your Honor,
which element of the offense of which he was convicted is not in the specification that he was charged with?
Well, if we're looking at the specification, Your Honor, then that is really a question of notice. And that would be bringing us back into the fairly embraced test.
Okay, well, let me ask it a different way. Which element of the offense that he was convicted of is different from the offense that he was charged with?
All of them, Your Honor, because the elements of assault with a dangerous weapon are completely different from the elements of Article 134.
Completely different in that they use slightly different words, or completely different in every respect under Alston?
They're different in that the elements as defined by Congress are completely different, Your Honor.
And what about Article 79? We just ignore Article 79 because the words are slightly different?
No, Your Honor. Actually, under Article 79, this Court has interpreted that to mean that we would use the strict elements test. So we simply compare elements of the purported lesser and greater offenses. And if those elements are different, then one is, or if the lesser included offense contains an element not present in the greater offense, then it is not a lesser included offense. And in Medina, this Court held that we don't look to the facts or circumstances that are alleged on the charge sheet. We only look to the statutory elements. Because to do otherwise, again, would be to return us to the hydra known as the fairly embraced test. If we're looking at what was alleged or pleaded on the charge sheet or in the specification, that is a question of notice. But that question is irrelevant to whether or not there is a lesser included offense.
Well, and I apologize to you because I didn't participate in Fossler and some of the other cases dealing with Article 134. But as I would understand your argument, we could not approve a 134 simple assault, for example, since there was no allegation of the terminal element. Is that right? In other words, there is no the charge of assault with attempt to commit murder or whatever it was. Could it stand if it proved all the elements? Could it have stood here?
If the members had found him guilty of that...
It alleged that it was prejudicial to go on in this point so far. I don't have
to say. If it alleged that, yes, Your Honor.
It did allege it?
It did not in this case, no, Your Honor.
Well, that's what I did. I thought it did not. Could we have approved it if they had found him guilty of that?
That would depend on that would require a Fossler and Ballon type analysis, Your Honor. This court need not reach that question in order to
Well, address. I'm trying to see if we could approve a simple assault.
Under Article 128, Your Honor?
Under 134.
Well, under Parker versus Levy, Your Honor, no, because Parker says that conduct that Congress has already made criminal in the non-Article
128
statutes.
Okay, then could we approve a simple assault under Article 128?
Not in this case, no, Your Honor, because he was only charged under Article 134. Article 128 is not a lesser included offense of Article 134. I address that further, Your Honor. So under Parker, Congress did not intend for conduct that was already made criminal in non-Article 134 offenses to be criminalized under the general article.
Well, I'm a little confused by your argument because, as I understood your conversation with Judge Ryan, you said that the charge did not allege the dangerous weapon element. Is that correct? So a strict elements analysis just
under
fails.
Under strict elements analysis, that is correct, Your Honor.
Okay, so what I was asking is, would some other charge, which doesn't require the dangerous weapon, like simple assault, be affirmable? And now you're arguing that nothing under 128 is affirmable under 134, under Parker v. Lee.
That is our argument. That is correct, Your Honor.
Well, then the elements don't matter.
They do matter in that. It's because the fact that the elements of simple assault or even aggravated assault, in this case with a dangerous weapon, Congress has already declared that conduct is made criminal under Article 128 of the UCMJ. Therefore, it cannot be made criminal under Article 134.
So, counsel, what do we do about the fact that Article 79, the explanation, says a lesser offense is included in a charged offense if the specification contains allegations which either expressly or by fair implication put the accused on notice? I mean, you're not disputing that the specification alleges all of the elements of the offense of which he was convicted, are you?
We don't dispute that, Your Honor.
And you're not disputing that your client asked for this LI, agreed to and, in fact, asked for the LIO instruction?
No, we don't dispute that, Your Honor.
And argued in closing that that's what he should be convicted of.
But he didn't argue that. He just asked the members to consider that.
So even if everything that you're saying is true, where's your prejudice?
The prejudice here, Your Honor, in Girard McMurrin, this court held that the conviction for an offense that is not charged and not a lesser included offense was prejudicial.
It was tested for prejudice, and in Girard, the theory on which he was convicted of bore no relationship whatsoever to the theory that the government tried the case on or that the defense defended against. In Girard, the person was convicted of premeditated murder and was basically convicted of manslaughter by failing to supervise his subordinates. That's not this case.
The theory in this case, Your Honor, was that he had the intent to commit murder, and the government made the decision to charge that under Article 134, not under Article 128. When they made that decision, the members acquitted him of the charged offense. He should not have been convicted for an uncharged offense that exposed him to an additional 5 years of confinement.
When you're saying uncharged offense, I mean, it's in the charge sheet. How is it uncharged?
Because it's not a lesser included offense, and we don't need to.
Well, then say it's an LIO, but don't say it's not a charged offense because it's in the charge sheet. You agree with that?
Yes, Your Honor. I apologize for misspeaking.
Well, but uncharged offense is something different than an LIO, or
yes,
not being an LIO.
And under Article 79, he cannot be convicted for an offense that is not an LIO. So in this case, it's clearly not an LIO when we do a simple elements comparison. Therefore, the conviction for that offense, that was never, there was no evidence in this case of an amendment to make that an additional charge. And under Medina and Article 79, we need not get into the business of looking at the specification to
see. I understand that you don't want to talk about notice because the record is replete with notice. So explain where your prejudice is.
The prejudice, Your Honor, is
the prejudice can't be the fact that he wasn't charged or that it's not an LIO, so come up with something different. That's the error.
The prejudice, in Girard, Your Honor, this court said that the due process right to not be convicted for something that's not a lesser-included offense is broader and encompasses the concept of notice. So that's why we're not.
I don't think those are the precise words. I don't think of something that's not a lesser-included offense. I think of an offense not charged. I mean...
Well, in this case, Your Honor, if it's not a lesser-included offense, then how is it possible that he was... It's not possible for him to be convicted for that because it wasn't put on... that he was never informed that he was going to be charged and potentially convicted. He was never at peril of being convicted under Article 128. The only thing the government said with respect to this conduct was, we are charging you with Article 134.
So what if it said Article 134 and that was, and the sole error is that it doesn't say Article 128?
No, Your Honor, because that would be, that was covered under Deller, and that was a case of a simple mislabeling or a Scrivener's error. This is not, in this case, the government's theory, the crux of this case was that he had the intent to commit murder. And when the government wasn't able to prove that, the members acquitted him of that. And they instead found him guilty of something different, an entirely different statute, an entirely different crime. It may be that the facts and circumstances, there's some overlap and there's similarity, but that doesn't mean that that's what he was charged with.
Okay,
that doesn't mean that it's an LIO.
This was asserted for the first time on appeal.
Yes, Your Honor.
Yeah. Okay. What's the test when it's raised for the first time on appeal?
It would be plain error.
Plain error.
Forfeiture.
Right. It's plain error. Assuming it's error, since this whole thing was brought up by the defense counsel, you can hardly argue a lack of notice or lack of understanding or anything else. I repeat Judge Ryan's question. Where's the prejudice?
The prejudice here, Your Honor, is that he should not have been convicted for something that is not an LIO.
That's even if that's the error, that's the error. The prejudice isn't the error.
Yeah, where's the prejudice?
Well, it's the exposure to 5 years of additional confinement beyond what he was already exposed to that... So this court can't look at that and say that... And in fact, in this case, because this particular offense was the gravamen of the charge sheet, it's possible that this would have been handled at a lower level or dealt with in a different manner than it was in terms of...
You mean this thing started out with an intent to commit murder and it could have been taken care of under Article 15? Is that what you're asserting?
Well, no, I'm saying that the fact that he was acquitted of assault with intent to commit murder. So once that's gone, then what we're left with is something drastically different and substantially less in terms of culpability. So his punitive exposure would have been reduced by 20 years once the members acquitted him of assault with intent to commit murder. So that's therein is the prejudice, Your Honor, is that when the members acquitted him, that should have removed 20 years of confinement time from his total punitive exposure.
Yeah. Hadn't the old Blockburger case established prejudice if you're convicted of an offense which doesn't exist in that prejudice per se?
Yes, we
don't need to analyze whether you got another minute, another time, whether they forfeited more money, anything. Just standing convicted of something you can't be convicted of is prejudicial, isn't it?
That is correct, Your Honor.
Okay. I'm still confused about your argument. From a jurisprudential point of view, purely looking at it jurisprudentially, as I understand your argument, you can never be convicted of a lesser-included enumerated offense under an Article 34 charge. Is that right?
That is a logical conclusion that this Court can and should draw from Parker, Your Honor, Parker versus Levy. Because under Parker, the Supreme Court made clear that Congress intended to criminalize under Article... The purpose for Article 134 is to fill in the gaps in the non-134 offenses.
And wouldn't that be a perfect fit with what I understand is the current jurisprudence of the Court, that you could not be convicted of a 134 offense under an enumerated offense because there's no allegation of the third element's prejudice, good order, and discipline, et cetera.
Absolutely, Your Honor.
So we would have
the inverse of that. It is the inverse relationship.
Yeah, it would solidify that jurisprudence, wouldn't it?
Yes, Your Honor. Absolutely.
Good.
Your Honor, to briefly conclude, assault with a dangerous weapon is not a lesser included offense of assault with intent to commit murder. Petty Officer Rauscher's conviction for an offense that is not a lesser included offense of any charged offense, therefore violates due process. We respectfully ask this court set aside the conviction under specification 1 of charge 4. If there are no further questions, I yield my remaining time to the court.
Thank you, counsel. Counsel for the government, please.
Good morning, Your Honors. And may it please the court, I'm Captain David Roberts, along with Colonel Brubaker. I represent the government. This court should affirm the lower court's decision for two reasons. First, all elements of aggravated assault are necessarily included within the elements of assault with intent to commit murder with which the appellant was charged. And second, there is no prejudice because appellant defended on the theory he committed the lesser offense, not the greater, and got exactly what he wanted, a conviction on the lesser included offense. Turning to the first argument, aggravated assault is a lesser included offense of assault with intent to murder because all of the elements of the lesser offense are necessarily included within the elements of the greater offense. The elements of the lesser offense, the aggravated assault offense, are first that there's an attempt or an offer, or that the accused did commit bodily harm upon another person, that it was committed with a certain weapon, means, or force. Third, that it was accomplished with unlawful force or violence. And fourth, that weapon, means, or force was used in a manner likely to produce death or grievous bodily harm. Those elements are all included within assault, with the elements of assault to commit murder. The elements of assault with intent to murder under the MCM are that there was an assault, that at the time of the assault, the accused intended to murder the victim, and that under the circumstances, that assault constituted a disorder and neglect to prejudice or good order and discipline the armed forces, or was conduct of a nature to bring discredit upon the armed forces. As charged in this case, the accused was charged with committing an assault upon the Petty Officer J.D. with intent to murder by stabbing him in the chest and the hands with a knife. All of the elements of the lesser included offense are included as a subset in that charged offense. In Jones and in McMurrin and Gerard and all the cases, the LIO cases subsequent to Jones, this court has applied an elements test. But it is also made clear that it looks at the specification that is charged, as is informed by the presidential elements, and as is informed by the statutory elements as well. And so, in sum, Your Honors, there is no error here, because all the elements of the lesser included offense are necessarily included in the charged offense. That's the Schmuck test. That's the test that this court adopted and applied in Teeters and again in Jones, and has followed ever since.
Read that specification to me one more time.
Yes, Your Honor. The specification was such that the appellant committed an assault upon Petty Officer J.D., Machinist Mate Second Class Petty Officer J.D., with intent to murder, and by stabbing the Petty Officer in the chest and the hands with a knife. Now, if this court determines that the lesser offense was not necessarily included in the greater offense as charged, and determines that there was error, it should determine that the accused waived the error. Waiver is an intentional relinquishment of a known right, and it was addressed in passing in this court's opinion in Girard. This case is distinct from McMurrin and Girard because this trial occurred in a post-Jones world, where this court clearly identified that where lesser included offense is all the elements are included in the offense as charged. then the lesser offense isn't necessarily a lesser included offense. The accused, with knowledge of this, premised his defense theory, premised his entire defense theory on the fact that he did not commit the greater offense, but he did commit the lesser offense. He argued that to the jury, counsel argued that to the members, and premised his entire argument. So therefore, for these reasons, also the defense counsel asked for an instruction on the LIO, and premised the case theory on the fact that the accused was guilty of the LIO. Therefore, this court should, if this court determines that it was an error in the lesser included offense, should determine that the accused waived that error.
So what was this, what was the strength of the government's case evidence with every element except for the intent? Do you understand what I'm saying? Other than the intent to murder versus the intent necessary for aggravated assault, what was the strength of the government's case?
The strength of the government's case, ma'am, was that the accused stabbed another person, another service member, in the chest with a knife.
Right, but what evidence supported that?
Those facts. Yes, Your Honor. There were testimony by several witnesses. The knife itself was produced at trial, a photo of it was in the joint appendix. And that testimony was corroborated by several witnesses, Your Honor.
Is it fair to say then that the only issue that was at issue was the mens rea?
I would agree with that, yes, Your Honor. As counsel noted that if this court determines that waiver is not proper here, it does apply the plain error test. And again, we note that there is no evidence of prejudice here because the accused got exactly what he wanted. He was convicted of the lesser included offense. Just to address briefly the Fosler argument appellant's counsel raised in his brief. The government notes here that the term of element was not alleged on the charge sheet, term of element 134. That was a charging error, but as this court laid out in Ballin and in Neely, that error is tested for plain error. And again, we note that there's no prejudice. We argue that there's no prejudice here because appellant was not convicted of the Article 134 offense. If the court has no further questions, please file.
Thank you very much, counsel. Counsel for the appellant.
Counsel, if we were to take this charge and specification and strike out with intent to kill, what would be left?
It would be a different Article 134 specification, Your Honor. A different Article 134 charge.
If we struck out 134 and put 128, would it be sustainable?
That would be a major change, Your Honor, because it's changing the nature of the...
Well, that's what happens in LIOs all the time. You strike out one charge and substitute another, don't you?
Well, there would be no major change in the case of an actual LIO, Your Honor, because it's an LIO, it's already necessarily included. Therefore, there is no change that needs to be made other than simply striking the additional element that would make it a lesser included offense.
Seems to me, intellectually, when you read that, you've got an assault with a dangerous weapon charge, okay? The question in my mind is if you've got zero offense over here, could it ever have a lesser included offense?
I'm sorry, if we have...
No offense. Under Fosler, there's no offense alleged under 134. Is there?
That's correct.
Well, how can you have a lesser included of zero offense?
You can't, Your Honor.
Counsel... You're relying on Fosler to say that there's no offense alleged, and I believe that what it said is that it was defective specification, that it was defective. And under Cotton, what do you do with a defective specification that's lacking an element? Under United States versus Cotton, what do you do with the defective indictment, you know, the equivalent of a defective specification?
Well, Your Honor, this court has tested...
plain error.
Yes, Your Honor, to see if there was an objection at the trial. To clarify an earlier statement, the appellant was not charged with assault with a dangerous weapon, even though the facts in the specification appear to have touched on some of those elements. And that's because one important fact in this case that demonstrates that is that when the military judge instructed on the elements, he instructed on the elements of Article 134, and the government did not object to that. The government agreed that those were the elements that he should be, that the members should be instructed upon and that they wanted him to be convicted of. So, therefore, and also under RCM 307, I believe it is, that a proper charge requires both the charge and the specification, and the charge requires the delineation of the correct article under the UCMJ. So in this case, the government charged him under Article 134, and the military judge instructed in accordingly under the elements of 134 without any objection from the government. That evidences that the intent and the understanding of all the parties in the courtroom on that day were that the appellant was being charged with and was at peril for conviction of Article 134. Barring any further questions, that concludes my argument.
Thank you, counsel. We thank both of you for your arguments today, and the case is submitted, and we'll stand in recess until 5 past the hour. Thank you very much.
Court stands in recess.